There's this plan to create like a torus shaped constantly in orbit space habitat, like the orbits around the planet.
Torus, like the car?
That would be so much better. Yes, the Taurus station wagon, driven by Ludacris, that constantly orbits.
Is it orbiting, or is it just like on one of those points?
Like the way that I understood it was it's like in an infinity symbol type ring.
I'm pacing it into the chat right now. This is like the most Rogan story starter that we've ever had. So did you hear about the ring?
Well, so the thing that caught me about it was how they are. I have a firm belief that every engineer is just a hilljack at heart. Like every hilljack is a child or every engineer is a watermelon trebuchet child. You know, that has just grown up and gone to good school.
Stanford Taurus Megathreat.
Then get to the part where you find out how they're going to make the radiation shield.
Okay.
Please hold. Which is, here, where's I'll spoil that? It for you. They're going to create basically like, you know that machine that scoops up golf balls at Topgolf? They're going to create basically a reverse one of those that just chucks moon rocks constantly into orbit around the space station. There's going to be a space tugboat that picks up the moon rocks from space as they are hurled at it.
Yeah.
And that is what they're going to use to build the radiation shield. Like, this is where they're going to get the blocks for their moon concrete, is by throwing rocks at the space station from the moon.
It gets wilder because you would, in addition to having...
I will drive the space tugboat, first of all.
I love this term. An electromagnetic mass driver would hurl 10-kilo chunks of moon rocks into space at a rate of 5 per second nonstop for a decade. Just a machine dedicated to fucking the moon up for a whole decade. You said, oh, where's the Stanford going to come into this? You're like, rapaciously destroying a planet so that we could build something for the wealthy. That's where it comes in. Additionally, once those rocks are thrown up, you go, huh, I remember something from the basic laws of physics that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's right. In order to keep this entire thing moving, by the way, and maintain the position, the station receiving these, right, that was going to receive all of these rocks, would hurl pellets 10 times the speed of the incoming chunks in the opposite direction, just in order to maintain its position.
Because balance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It basically has to poop.
So they, to maintain I'm so where glad it's you brought is. Up poop. I'm really glad you brought up poop, because further down in this plan is a list of animals that they believe will be necessary to have aboard this, I'm calling it a space station, but they call it something else.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
And the first animal I saw listed was chickens, and I was like, can you imagine the smell of chicken shit in space?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's nothing to mitigate the chicken smell. But then I had a much more interesting idea. You're not going to be able... In what universe are you going to be able to get all of these animals and all of this livestock and all of its feed, or for at least the first round until they grow their own or whatever, up into space without one rat?
That's the challenge, I suppose, is to create a rat-free... So
then I kind of put myself in the shoes of, imagine being the one rat that makes it to the space station.
Rat. What's your goal at that point?
Whatever I want. I am Templeton, king of Mars.
But you're also the last rat on Mars.
This is Ratatouille Part 2, the sequel.
So, like, I'm not... That's the thing. I'm not worried about breeding. I'm just living.
Oh, you can't... Come on. All rats are worried about breeding.
As much as they're worried about eating?
Look, all I'm saying is I think this rat ends up trying to fuck a chicken.
I think they do a pretty high amount of both. Breeding.
Yeah, well,
I do
okay,
like
so what
that,
if I'm the rat and I'm eating and I'm fucking everything that moves? I mean, this does lead into today's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something will work. I just think I my favorite part of this, honestly, Holly, is how many times you have said this is what is gonna happen. You have a high level of optimism that the Stanford Taurus will work, and that they've evidently spent 50 years working on this in secret, and it'll be unveiled just as soon as they figure out the rat thing, I guess.
We're so close.
You know, Jason, that's a very good point, and I have to say, once I saw space tugboat, I just assumed that everything else would fly, and I took this with absolutely no pessimism whatsoever.
I think they'll get it done.
as our future.
It's supposed to take 20 to 25 years to build. And in the course of all of that...
So you'll be dead, but the rest of us might get to see
it. Yeah,
this.
You might see
but
it.
25 years as of 1975. So it's been up there for a while. You know what else happened around that time? Halo. The Halo games, in which planets are surrounded by things exactly like this. So, yeah, it happened.
That's actually,
just not
do you think
on Earth.
That actually slowed down the process? Do you think Halo came out and all the devs were like, I have
well,
some
probably
work to
literally,
today,
yes. But because, yeah, a video game was out. So you know, the nerds went to play the video game. But, like, I think what happened is they built it on the wrong planet, and then Microsoft made a video game about that planet.
Okay.
It's a documentary.
Okay. Yeah.
In order to maintain something like Earth gravity, they're going to have a station like this rotate at 1 RPM. So they'll have to have go 1 revolution per minute, leading me to
that's
believe
that's a lot faster than you think it is.
For something that big, yeah. Uh-huh. Like that fucker's going to be spinning.
Which makes it even funnier that we're going to throw rocks at it.
Right, mm-hmm. It's going to be turnt.
Yeah,
but what?
How big is it?
I will get you some numbers on that.
It is. It has a diameter of 1.11 miles.
Once again, we have all left the subjunctive case behind.
Mm. And yeah. A circumference of nearly 3.5 miles.
When this happens.
Yeah.
So in order to go 1 RPM.
Okay, so it's the orbit that's torus shaped and not a giant ring space station that is like ringing the Earth. Okay.
Yeah. So
that is disappointing.
I'm out.
My friend, I'm afraid you're in.
It's too late.
It's not big enough for me to be in. I would see it.
You're on here with Admiral Templeton, the rat admiral of space.
Well, here's the thing.
King of outer space.
I hate that.
I'm sorry. I just
yep,
I
that's
see
the
that.
Voice.
I had this concept, and I was like, oh, it's John Lovitz. John Lovitz.
There's so many bad... But in order to do this, I was thinking... So Tuesday is Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right? Thursday, I assume, like every other...
Is Taco Tuesday just for people?
No, this is space. We are trans-species at this point, right? Across all species.
Sure.
We believe in Taco Tuesday as a right... Thirsty Thursday.
God, the fish are
going
to hate this.
Another great cornerstone of civilization. We're going to keep Thirsty Thursday going. But my favorite thing is going to be this. We need Freaky Fridays where we just start fucking with the gravity for no reasons. Heavy Friday. We just chop and screw this bitch.
Fifth Everybody Thursday.
Oh my God, you've invented space, Houston.
Yes, everybody.
Stout Saturday.
Yeah.
Jason, the good news is you likely are out because according to what I'm reading, this habitat is capable of housing 10,000 to 140,000 permanent residents.
Mm,
so yeah. Just as a matter of math, none of us are getting there.
I'm probably not making the Stanford cut
no,
there.
No, I have a feeling.
10 to 140,000 is a large delta.
You're telling me we can get rid of 100,000 Stanford grads just like that? Let's do it.
See, this is why for a long time, and I think I said this on the show, I was supportive of Elon's post-Tesla career because all he seemed to be interested in doing was sending our silliest rich people into space.
Ah, and but now it's turned into blowing them up on the way to space, which is different.
Which on paper, which I love.
Even bolder activism on his part.
What a brilliant anti-capitalist move. I'll get the richest people in the world to pay me to blow them up.
That's been the
meanwhile,
plan
I will
along.
Squander all of my wealth on posting poorly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The man is just shitting wealth back into the economy.
You thought Marshall Henderson was doing an interesting psychological experiment. Behold.
You think it's kind of remarkable that he doesn't like get off a better post every once in a while by accident?
No, I think it's by design at this point.
Mm.
I think he posts that bad on purpose?
Yes.
Could post better if he wanted to?
Yes. No, I just mean he hasn't inadvertently hit upon a combination of words that aren't dumb.
Yeah, I'm saying Ryan is indicating it's on purpose, as if Elon has a higher gear that he chooses not to hit.
I think he's trying to tank the posting economy one by himself.
Hmm.
Mm.
So he can buy low. Brother, mm-hmm. I have some news for you. So he can not buy low. This is the list of things that could go wrong with a station like this. I know that if it's catering to the wealthy, the first thought I had was this: somebody climbing aboard and being like, "I get to bring my ferrets, right?"
Yeah. Oh, no.
You can. Yeah, you said we're trans species, so you said that was okay.
They get Taco Tuesday. That's true.
Spencer okay. said we get to bring our ferrets.
I said space chicken shit was going to smell. I would like to revise that upwards to space ferret anything.
Yeah, I think the smell of ferret can overcome anything in the universe.
Look, I'm not saying it's easy on Earth, and I'm trying to be sensitive here, but I suspect it is way harder and way more unpleasant to get divorced in space. Right?
Space divorce!
Like, hey, space divorce is so claustrophobic.
Have I told y'all about getting divorced over Zoom?
No.
Because I did. And the degree to which they go, the lengths to which they go to make it like real life court, even in ways that don't make that easier or smoother.
Mm-hmm.
And the main one I mean is this. Zoom has waiting rooms, right?
Sure.
You can be parked in front of a blank screen and admitted to join a meeting. But instead, you're invited to the same, it's like actual court. You're invited to the same Zoom meeting with like 40 other people who are getting divorced that day.
Yeah.
And everybody has to have their cameras on.
Yeah.
And so, like, instead of admitting people like two at a time, it's just like court, only instead of all these people like standing behind and arrayed around you and checking their phones or whatever while you talk to the judge, everyone's just right there in their cameras watching your marriage dissolve. It is bizarre.
So, and once those 40 turn into 40 singles, are they then attempts to recombine?
given the fact that I got divorced in Fulton, I'm kind of amazed that this did not. That this was not included. And of course, there's the one person who does not mute, doesn't know how to mute.
That has to be a New York Times vows column that is at least coming. We met on California Divorce Zoom.
Zoom Divorce Court.
This has got to be in a White Lotus season at some point.
He's a designer of the Stanford Torres Space Station.
Can I put some time on your calendar after this?
She's a Reiki healer with a compulsive gambling problem.
Made of ferrets.
She hopped on a call, and then she hopped on that D.
She's 37 ferrets stuffed into a jacket.
But she smells okay.
But some of the libertarian dipshits who are going to be fueling and participating this,
yeah.
I have no doubt that one option in space divorce court is going to be the airlock.
Ooh,
when faced with the you have to give so many dollars per, or, I'm sorry, so many space ferret dollars per month to your spouse. Ferrets
you forfeit this guys. Many tacos on Tuesday.
You're right. You will no longer be able to do heavy Fridays for free.
You have to pay
what
to
about
experience
Sundays
the girth.
Relax.
Every Friday.
No Mammoth Mondays for you.
No.
Life moves a little bit slower up here.
I feel so Titanic. It's incredible.
Your spouse will inherit half of your 10-ton Tuesday.
Yeah.
The Space King Rat offers you the choice of the airlock instead. Survive for 3 minutes course. And you will be free of your burdens.
Of course, of your astronaut marriage. King Templeton is going to take over the judicial
complete,
system.
Complete. Justice Templeton says you have to complete one lap running with wearing only pool goggles around the inside of the Taurus. If you can do that and live, no alimony.
You must drive be like, I the got Taurus
it. I'm gonna try it.
Around the Taurus, and then you will be free of your marriage.
If you can catch the moon rock being hurled at this station with your bare hands, Justice Templeton will release you.
Go look at the number of people who think they could fight a bear in real life, and they'll be like, bro, I'll catch that moon rock.
I'll catch the moon. You saying I can't punch the moon out of orbit?
Varsity.
Fuck you.
I was varsity, man. I got this.
I also love that this is based on a dare from a rat. Like, that's not the part that yes. registers. You know, yes. they're not like, yes. who are you, a fucking yes. rat, to tell me what to do? They're like, you said I can't? Oh,
you
I'll show
I
you, I will.
That's what Donna said. That's why we're fucking divorced.
That's why I'm trying
Ryan, why'd
to
you
space
use the name
divorce
of your actual
her.
Mother-in-law.
Yeah.
She's divorced. It felt appropriate.
Okay, fair enough. Hi, Donna.
Two things. Right, it's like two things I'm keeping in this divorce bar. One, the Space Dodge Challenger, I'm keeping that. And two,
damn.
I'm going to go out that airlock and try to Master Chief it back down to Earth rather than pay space alimony. I got this.
Question for the court. Is the Space Challenger... Oh, we should probably call it something else.
When has that ever gone wrong?
Space Dodge also...
Space Dodge.
Space Dodge is good.
I was just going to ask if the Space Dodge Challenger is a surface vehicle for the... Sorry. That's how you tell it apart. Is a surface vehicle for the moon, or is it a spacecraft?
Yes.
You know what? Fair enough.
All you need is a ramp.
Yeah.
And a dream.
Buddy, with a Hemi, we're going to take that shit anywhere.
Every spacecraft can be a landing craft, if you believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not... The state of the landing is not specified.
That's right.
Any object can be a spacecraft.
That's right.
And that's good, because if there's one thing we don't want around this, it's regulations.
How badass of a hot air balloon would you need to build to get it to get to space?
That's a Red Bull question. Atmosphere. Red Bull has a pretty close answer to this.
I was going to say I have the actual answer since I've thought about this a lot.
wait. Why?
Well, largely due to
having... Because he doesn't have a real job.
You've thought about this a lot.
I have children, and...
Whoa!
I picture a smoke alarm going off, and Spencer's just in the corner thinking, like, so if the hot air balloon was made of this, I think it would... Sorry, okay, go ahead.
So you have the floor.
So you can get
and
close,
the sky.
But it cannot get... to space. You can get very, very close. In fact, there are tours that you can take to get to, quote, the edge of space for about $133,000, according to Condé Nast.
So that's two New Mexico bowls.
Yeah. Yeah. You can sponsor two bowl games for the ride. They will take you in a balloon, and they will take you pretty close. I'm trying to get the exact...
What do you wear?
Ascot. You need to wear an ascot.
Okay. Astrocot.
Aliens are up there. I need you to be classy, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I need an ascot, okay?
Right.
I choose to believe...
pop your collar. The aliens are coming.
How mad would you be if we left for another planet and we kept all our fashion rules? It was like, nah, man, shorts are inappropriate. You'd be like,
oh my
fuck
God,
you.
We got the dress for air travel crowd up here talking about what to wear on the space shuttle.
We still wear suits on Venus.
This is one of the expanse rules, because they do accurately track the notion of, we colonized another planet, and then the planet immediately being like, fuck you! hey, could you guys send that back? No, we're here now. We don't need you. We wear ties. We don't wear ties. We don't do any of that shit anymore.
We have our incorruptible space rat to deliver justice for us.
Justice Templeton.
Templeton the incorruptible.
The Shutdown Fullcast. We are the internet's only college football podcast. You are listening to the dulcet tones of me, Spencer Hall, joined as always by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk, and Holly Anderson.
Hello.
With Michael Serber on the ones and twos. So, normally we devote all 90 minutes or so of this podcast to discussing nothing but college football every single week.
These days, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I think Cerber cuts a lot of the fat, which I appreciate.
We need to go 90 today.
did you just say go 90?
Somewhere Stephen Godfrey twitches in anger.
It's soon, yes, the flagship podcast of a soon-to-be doomed streaming network went 90. That is going to be the name.
Twitty's only college football podcast, the Shutdown Fullcast.
We have no fat this week because we're going to begin immediately with content.
31 minutes into recording.
And a guest. We are going to get to the point. We're going to arrive at the point, if you will.
I'll take over from here because there's no way you can better that segue.
No, go ahead.
So, it's Tuesday, May 2nd. As we are recording this, on April 29th, in the mid-afternoon, I first became aware of what we're just going to describe as the incident via Jocelyn Silver, a journalist on Twitter who said, she's describing, I think if I'm my math straight, she's describing Friday Night Show. Right, Paul?
Correct.
We'll get to Paul in a second. See, that was like a serial style thing.
That was good.
Yeah. My weird producer's in the car beside me. Friends who went to the LA Philharmonic last night, says Jocelyn, are reporting that in the middle of the show, some lady had a screaming orgasm to the point where the whole orchestra stopped playing. Now, she is followed up by a couple different people who report that, yes, this did happen. No, the orchestra did not stop playing. And it gets chopped up and, with kind of astonishing speed, lands in the LA Times. And what I think is, and I'm going to read more of this than I normally would, because I think it's a really beautiful piece in tone. This is Christy Karras writing in the music section at the LA Times. And the first person they interview, this is the third paragraph of the story. I saw the girl after it happened, and I assumed that she had an orgasm because she was heavily breathing and her partner was smiling and looking at her, like in an effort not to shame her, said Grant. It was quite beautiful. And you go on throughout the piece, and I'm sure they tried, but the LA Times cannot find a person who will speak against this happening. Everyone's like, yeah, that's beautiful, man. Hey, I love Tchaikovsky.
So, wait, I have seen other people in this article who said that they dispute the orgasm theory. The noise, nobody disputes the noise. But the theory of
cause. By the way, Serper, there is an audio tweet. There is audio of it.
There is, yes.
Yeah, that we can send to you if you haven't heard this.
It was certainly a shout.
But we're not the witnesses or the experts here, are we?
No.
Molly?
So this brings us around to Paul. We have with us today a member of the LA Philharmonic, a trombonist, which I think we can all agree is the most sensual of instruments.
Many do say that.
Paul, welcome to the full cast. We're so relieved to have somebody on here not named Matt. Tell us what happened Friday night from your perspective. Start wherever you like.
I mean, it was a typical kind of Friday evening concert up until that point, relatively uneventful first movement of the Tchaikovsky. And no one clapped between movements, which happens a lot here in Los Angeles. So that should have been kind of the first warning sign that not everything was, you know, not everything was on the level. And I don't know how familiar either you all are or the audience is with how much the trombone plays in the orchestra, but it's not always a lot. So, you know, the incident occurred, you know, relatively early in the second movement, but, you know, after a couple of minutes where I didn't really have anything to play. And so when I have nothing to play, I'm just kind of sitting there trying to, you know, look professional and not fall asleep and remember when to play next. And all of a sudden, it comes to kind of a natural pause in the music and the noise occurs. And the first thing that went through my head is someone is having a medical emergency. That was like immediately what I thought. I'm like, they're going to have to wheel somebody out of here. I was worried that something had gone terribly, terribly wrong. But, you know, we didn't hear any follow-up noise, and we, you know, no one was wheeled out that I could tell. So I'm like, well, it must have been not that bad, whatever it was.
Well, for witnesses nearby, it sounded like this girl's partner was sitting beside her just kind of beaming. So I'm guessing medical emergency can be ruled out.
Yes, but I couldn't see. So this all occurred behind me and kind of over my right shoulder. So in a place where I really couldn't look. I can't just be sitting on stage like, I know, you know, podcasting is a famously visual medium, but I can't like turn my whole body around and look to see what happened. I got to just like stay forward, which is kind of what we all did on stage. We're all just like, and so just, you know, seeing if something was going to happen, plan on, and all that.
Now, who was conducting it? Who was conducting at that time, and what did their face do?
Our conductor that evening was Elim Chan for that whole program. And she's a real pro, and she was a real pro about it. She just kind of, kept going. I did not notice any, big change in her demeanor. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of, just kept going. And after about a minute, I think I'd sort of forgotten about it until after the show. So sometimes on our Friday evening programs, we do these things called casual Fridays. And it's so that basically the program's a little bit shorter and there's no intermission and we don't have to wear a tie. And,
like a school show.
Yeah, like, sort of. And then also one of the musicians kind of gives a little pre-concert talk, just to break down the barrier a little bit between stage and audience. But then after the show, there is a little kind of drinks get together. They bribe us musicians there by giving us free drink tickets. And then members of the audience come and we all get to kind of hang out and chat. And about half an hour into the little after party, this very nice British man and his two French sons came up to me. And one of his sons was like, "I have a very serious question for you." I was like, "Okay." He's like, "What was the noise?"
You've scandalized a French lad.
And I was like, "Man, I don't really know." He's like, "Was it from the stage?" And I was like, "No, it was definitely from behind the stage."
That would be a neat trick.
Yeah, no, it was. I could see how he might have thought that, though, sitting out in the hall, because it was, I think, really from right behind the stage. So I could see how he thought that. And then, we didn't really think about it again until I started seeing the Twitter threads pop up on Saturday. And then, when the Times story ran on Sunday afternoon, kind of, it all broke loose and all my friends are like sending me messages like, "Were you performing?" I was like, "Yeah, I was there."
I'm going to cut in here with a couple more quotes from the LA Times story. Silver Lake resident and music agent Lucas Burton says the sound from the audience member was wonderfully timed to a romantic swell in the symphony. And I do want to back this up. This was the symphonic sexual equivalent of, when you're yelling to a friend in a crowded room and the conversation goes quiet right when you yell "clown fucker" and just into a sudden pocket of silence.
I think it was a felony, but it's hard to tell.
She wasn't moving, but we just left her in the trunk.
No, it really, I do have to say, it really was wonderfully timed. We were trying, one of the things we were talking about between some of my colleagues the last few days is better places that it could have happened in the piece. And
I'm so glad you brought that up because that is our game.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
This is our game that we are going to play.
No, so yeah. Well, I won't spoil it with any ideas. But that's the very game we've been playing. And one of my colleagues who likes to do little audio projects has mm-hmm. been, he's been saying here, and so we've been.
So he's sampled it. And now, the sample is propagating throughout the rest of the soundtrack.
It could be. So I, not at liberty to share anything, but yes, it's definitely a game that we've been playing.
So that's actually a little bit different from the game that we're going to play today. I hadn't been thinking of it in terms of where mm-hmm. to insert screaming orgasms in pieces of music. We were just talking about. Immediately, for some reason, between us after this story came out, the conversational vein that we fell into was most incongruous public places to jacket. Like, not even necessarily most inappropriate, but just, like, places where you just super would not, we're not even going for, the most shocking, just, the, huh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't expect that.
Because it's pretty shocking anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's a place where you would suspect somebody that sketchy was hanging out.
Yeah.
And would do that. It's generally pretty shocking.
But, you need a long wait. You need a fairly, not a super well-lit room. Mm-hmm. So, the first guest.
Don't kink shame.
Well, no, I mean to get as close
dentist
as possible.
Waiting room.
To the I'm trying to make a comparable setting here. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to draw as many parallels between the settings as possible. Yeah. Yeah. So, the first thing I came up with is DMV because all the fluorescents never work, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, there's dark corners mm-hmm. even in daylight.
Yeah.
Ryan, I know you had several ideas for this.
Sure.
The DMVs out here in LA are way too crowded for that.
Linkin Park is actually okay.
So my first idea
to have sexual congress in the middle of a weekday.
My first idea is a weekday Marlins game.
The home run statue spins.
Yeah, just mostly because it's just sort of like, why did you bother? Like,
Server there are so has many... his glasses up on his forehead and is just rubbing his eyes tiredly.
There's so many. Why did you bother to come to a weekday Marlins game? Be one of the 7,000 people who did that.
To feel the breeze on your cooter.
There are so many places you can feel the breeze on your cooter in Miami. That's like Miami's whole thing.
Well, yeah, but it's most likely that you'd feel the breeze in traffic.
Feeling the breeze with a little privacy at a Marlins.
A little, because it's a closed facility. I guess that's true. Yeah.
That is true. You can almost guarantee that there will be no one around you.
That's what people always complain about when you try to have sex at a Hurricanes game. It's like, oh, I feel like this isn't private. I feel like this isn't intimate enough.
Yeah, we got to downgrade just a little bit.
Mm-hmm, Paul is correct, though. This did happen at an A's game already.
Really? I was like, I really do remember seeing that, some distant video of that on Twitter at some point in time. I don't remember how long ago, but it's stuck in my brain.
It was against the Mariners, though.
that's low stakes baseball. That's a great choice. Yeah.
Especially in the Coliseum. Nobody's there to watch that.
Back when it had just opened, the Toronto Sky Dome became known as the Sex Dome for about 6 months after a couple did it in the windows of the hotel facing the field. And of course the knowledge was they couldn't have known. No, they knew. They absolutely knew. So, and baseball fans, of course, being the bored people that they are, were just like, yeah! Like, they caught a bunch. That's how they initially panned over. And, like, you know, they're like, oh, the fans are cheering something. Oh, goodness, Gord! Get the camera away from that!
This is where we needed the Red Sox announcers team who had the pizza slice thrown.
Yeah.
To call this moment. We needed Jerry Remy to really flesh this out.
Fans wouldn't cheer that? If we're saying baseball fans were.
Northwestern?
Philly. They just boo it. Just on instinct.
Yeah. He's doing a terrible job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jets fans.
I think get Brian Dawkins in there. Yeah.
Need a real hitter. Come on.
Tennis at Indian Wells. Matter who's going on. Yeah. Those are bitterly unhappy people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but not the Australian Open.
Oh, no, it's almost expected there, but oh, my God, the sun.
So hot. So hot. Yeah. Yeah. Really. You got to.
Oh, my God, your bare ass on those blue.
Yeah. Got to think about that. Another answer I came up with that I ultimately walked back was during the Queen's funeral. But then I realized, like, there are definitely people who specifically.
That's just being Irish.
During the Queen's funeral. Yes. Irish, possibly Welsh. What certain Scots.
I'm banging my man by saying, like, we don't give a damn about Maggie. That's what I'm doing.
He had a really good Scottish lady voice that just completely deserted you between episodes, and I think that's fascinating.
That's Irish. I don't know how to do Irish.
I would also like everybody to note that this incident has already made it onto the Wikipedia page for Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony.
Nice. Wow. What a legacy.
Not surprised to hear that.
Under the critical reaction section.
Reception.
Sounded like rave to me, buddy.
It is preceded by this sentence. Contemporary reception of Tchaikovsky's Fifth has been largely positive. And then there's story that goes with it.
I don't know how much you guys know about orchestra incidences from the past, but I saw someone online, you know, compare this to living through the reaction to the famous Rite of Spring premiere. and how, you know, there's these different conflicting reports of what actually happened, and you know what everyone ends up remembering is just the legend. But you know, we're all living that in real time right now.
That was one of the things I really loved about this is it was a story that appeared on the internet and it sounded very, very good. And then it was verified a couple of times on social media by people who were there. But it's still not quite a story. And you're waiting. You go, please, please let me see this in the LA Times. Please let me see this in a legitimate place that has to actually source this shit. And then it appeared. You're like, thank God.
Filled with, it's been updated several times since it initially appeared, but filled with approbation, referred to as wonderful and refreshing.
Yeah.
by members of the audience.
This would not be the review.
It's just such a great reminder that Twitter's not real life.
Paul, this is your place of work, and so I feel like you should have the say here. If you had to choose between this being a one-off or this becoming a trend, and those are the only options, which would you rather it be?
I really do feel like just the one-off, just have that legend, have that moment, and it's, it'll be talked about forever. If it started becoming a trend, I feel like it would get tired pretty quickly.
It can become, I like the idea of it becoming kind of a ghost story on the tour of the Disney concert hall. They say if you sit in seat 31B, you'll feel a little bit damp around hour two.
Follow-up question. Do you know when you all are supposed to perform this piece next?
Be a line around the block.
Yeah, I mean...
She's having...
Chike 5 comes up every year or two, so I don't know. We perform too often for me to have the schedule memorized, but I'm sure it's sometime within the next 2 years. In a short enough period of time that people will still have it in mind, I would guess.
I'm excited because I predict on that day, you and your colleagues will be like, is it going to happen again? Is there something about this piece of music?
You know what?
I can't hear the piece without it now. So like,
you're going to be so fired up to play that day. Wait, let's get it done.
Like when you record off a song off the radio, and like the station call sign is in the middle of the song,
right?
And then when you hear it on the album, and there's just that blank space there in the middle. You know what? Ironically, you guys might be pretty tense by the end of this piece. if it doesn't happen.
Marlon's day game is my best answer to your question, Holly.
I was going to say the landing at Plymouth Rock.
Just right then and there.
Here with View the Providence of God, we have...
Oh, finally, we're off that fucking boat. Oh, finally,
thank God.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not on a boat full of Calvinists anymore.
I've been holding this in for months.
I can just see, Martha, good woman Proctor back there just being like, I gotta let it loose.
Hold on. First I gotta puke, then we're gonna do this.
And then I'm gonna die.
Tonight I'm fucking something up. Sorry, got to the new world.
I saw Goody Proctor with a strap on in the pale moonlight.
I need Plymouth Rock to land on a certain piece of me right now.
What are rocks for, after all, but grinding?
That's true.
Yes. See, that is the funniest part of this to me too, is that I heard the audio and I was like, oh, girl, you needed that. You just had to let that go. There was no choice. Good.
It was forceful. It was.
Congratulations to her.
Yeah, no, it'd been a minute.
A lot went into it.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with Spencer deciding that he is the expert on what orgasm sounds mean.
Listen, I'm not, but I know enough that I heard that and I thought there was no choice. That was imperative.
Okay.
You know when you see people on Twitter being like, oh, you horny. That's, yeah. She was down bad. And then she wasn't, thanks to the magic of classical music. What an amazing achievement.
Mm-hmm. Nothing gets people going like, I know enough.
Put it in his Tinder profile.
This is how Johnny Sins becomes a member of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. It's strictly for this piece. Along with
Ole Miss alum, Johnny Sins.
Yes, former, that's Dr. Johnny Sins to you.
Dr. Ole Miss.
I had an unrelated question I wanted to ask Paul really quickly. Yeah. Because I looked at his bio.
Oh, good. I was going to ask this too. So you please came go
up
ahead.
So you grew up in Overland Park, Kansas.
Yes,
which
I
apparently
did.
Only turns out people who are really successful who live in Los Angeles. Is that correct?
I do have some other classmates that I went to school with who've ended up here. So I see Johnson County plates all over. Yeah.
Okay. You played your first trombone. That came from your dad, and your dad acquired the trombone when he traded it for a pig.
Yes. I'm glad you noticed this because this is one of my favorite stories. So my dad grew up on a farm out in western Nebraska, Llewellyn, Nebraska, if anybody knows where that is, about halfway between North Platte and Scotts Bluff, just way out in the middle of nowhere there in the panhandle. And so he comes home from school one day, you know, fourth or fifth grade, whenever band starts up, and he tells his parents, he's like, oh, I want to join the band. And they're like, well, you know, that's great. What instrument did you want to play? He said, oh, the trombone looks really fun. And they're like, oh, great. We actually know somebody who has a trombone. So they call up my dad's uncle, Ernie. And Ernie was a polka band player. All those Eastern Europeans that ended up in Western Nebraska, and he had an extra trombone laying around. So they're like, hey, Ernie, you know, you got a spare trombone? And he's like, yeah, I do. And they're like, well, what do you want for it? And he's like, well, you guys are hog farmers. Send me a slaughtered pig and I'll send you the trombone. And that was the trombone that my dad played all through high school. And then that was the trombone that I found in the basement when I was in like fourth grade.
I love those.
Farmers continue to make America great.
Yeah. They do every day.
So I just wanted to point out your entire career, your livelihood, and your passion would be impossible without the power of ham.
It is very much ham powered, yeah.
And not just Paul's passion. There's another passion out there. Yeah. That was stirred by this transaction.
He led us here.
I consider this a win for Arkansas, really.
Woo-wee! The most sensual of SEC football franchises, the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's actually true because they don't win often, and it's a long simmer before they eventually get there.
You Razorback, you put it down.
The Bolero. Programs.
I have one more question for Paul. Paul, how would you rate this particular piece in terms of its sensuality? And do you think there's a better choice for people who want to come to see live orchestral music and have a sensual experience?
Ryan,
I'm a great interviewer, goddamn.
Thank you for taking that breath right there. Speaking of musicality.
But yeah, that was very well done. That, you know, I don't know if you're a musician, Ryan, but you know, you know, you've got you might have a bit of talent in you.
Thank you.
No, I mean, I saw some people critiquing the choice of piece, and I had to say I disagree. I think Tchaikovsky's definitely in, and Tchaik 5 in particular is like, I'd say that's definitely not a bad choice. I would say that's at least in the top quartile, if not above that, in terms of pieces that you could choose for that. I saw people saying Bolero. I'd say Bolero is a really bad choice.
So chaotic.
I know. I would not. Yeah, Bolero is not there. I think.
Trombone solo, doesn't it?
It does indeed have a trombone solo. And actually, the trombone solo is the last solo. All the solos in Bolero, the trombone's the last one you hear before it's all 2D passages to the end of the piece.
Okay.
A bit of a stressful solo. So maybe I might be biased against it because of that. But I think when I was thinking about this, an unconventional choice. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the music of Olivier Messiaen. Mm-mm. No. So he was this absolutely kind of bonkers French guy who he had a few things that he really loved in the world. A couple of them were playing the organ and transcribing bird songs. He has bird songs all throughout a lot of his compositions, but there was one in particular just called Exotic Birds, and it's just a whole piece of bird songs and weird rhythm. And he was also he had synesthesia, so he very much wrote music to kind of match the colors that those combinations of notes kind of conjured in his brain. The Triangulula Symphony is the piece that I was thinking, and this is a piece that's it's about an hour and a half long, and it's all about It's all about love. And, you know, Olivier and Messiaen just kind of writing about love in his weird kind of French way. And so that was, you know, I don't know in the concert hall if that would be a particularly great experience, but I would say for home use, you know, the Messiaen I think might be an unconventional, but it's a choice that came to the top of my mind.
I was thinking the worst choices. I'm going to ask you for the two worst choices for this if you were going to do it. My starter would be, I cannot imagine somebody doing Ligeti atmospheres and getting to that point, just because that's so off-putting and disturbing and arrhythmic throughout the whole thing.
Wait, Slava. I'm amending my good answer to Slava.
But I was going to ask, like, what if you had to name two pieces where you're like, no, absolutely not. Not possible.
Yeah, I think in the line of the Ligeti, and I'm just looking this up so that I the Penderecki. I'm actually, as being from Kansas, I always terribly mispronounce things, and I have colleagues that make fun of me for it. But the threnody for the victims of Hiroshima. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that piece, but you know, that's another one in the vein of the Ligeti, that it's just such off-putting sounds the whole time. And you know, I mean, it's meant to invoke kind of the terror that people felt at that moment. So that would definitely be kind of a bottom of the barrel choice. I saw some people saying they would choose like Bach, and I'm like, nah, I really do not think Bach would be a good choice for that either.
That's a training wheels piece.
Yeah, but like I just, I don't know, Bach is so tied to like tied to religion. He was always, almost all of his pieces were sacred, and you know, it's just something about Bach didn't people saying that, I disagreed with that pretty strongly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Paul, before we let you go, what chair are you, and how can we help you advance your career?
Yeah, I'm the second trombonist. Okay. But you know, there was actually an article in I can't remember the name of the newspaper in Pittsburgh, if it's the Post or what
I think
it's called.
The Post Gazette, maybe.
Post Gazette. Okay, yeah, I was like, I couldn't remember if it was the Post or the Gazette, so that, you know, that makes sense. But one of my kind of fellow second trombone players was interviewed for an article they did about second chair players in orchestras, and how, you know, it really, especially in the wind section, people kind of misunderstand the job. You know, it's not that we are necessarily less talented than our colleagues around us, but it's just that we kind of serve a different job. You know, it's my job as second trombone player to make, you know, our principal trombone sound really good, to make our bass trombone sound really good, and to kind of fill out the section. So in terms of like advancing my career, like there's not a lot better that you can do as an orchestral musician than play in the LFL. So like I've got it pretty made. So.
Oh, I specifically meant, how can we help you take out the first chair?
I both David and Jim are great colleagues.
All right, you keep us posted.
And I mean, Jim is an Iowa football fan. I wouldn't want anything worse to befall him. You know, he already has to deal with watching Iowa football. You know,
and you don't. You know.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He had to be pretty mad on Friday because someone scored.
Folks, that's as good a note as ever.
I believe there's been a better note.
I'm trying to let Paul go, and the show is just clinging to him for dear life. Paul, thank you so much for making your time. Tell us where people can find you on the internet, besides at the Disney Concert Hall.
Oh, no one should find me on the internet. Just come. Just if you guys want to see my work, just come to a concert at the Phil. So we play, yeah, Disney Concert Hall, Hollywood Bowl during the summer. It's both of them are a good time.
Oh, it's a great show. All right, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you for volunteering to take us inside this magical night.
I just wanted to make sure that, you know, that people had perspective on the event. So.
We appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
You too.
So on the May 5th, they got Dvorak and Brooklyn coming up. So.
Ooh.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Do you think they'll find who fingered the perp?
You've been waiting on that, and I appreciate it.
A lot of dudes out there are going to take their girl to one of the unfinished symphonies. That's what I know.
I was like, you know, if they'd just gone during Mahler, Mahler symphony, we wouldn't. This wouldn't even be a story, right? They'd be like, woman has 2-hour-long screaming orgasm during a Mahler symphony and no one hears it.
They call it a little piece of Mahler for a reason.
Who's the second chair of our podcast?
Second chair?
Yeah.
Well, I ain't first.
Well, I think we play, it's you and me, isn't it?
We play different instruments.
That's
we play,
true.
We play,
oh,
yeah,
that's
we play
true.
Five different
that's
instruments
true.
Here.
That's true.
In what terms of, I would put Spencer
Well, Cerber's a conductor, then we have four different instruments.
Yep.
See, I would have said Cerber's a conductor, Spencer and Jason are first chairs, and Ryan and I are second chairs.
They're totally different.
We're your sturdy bass.
I just play timpani. That's it. Timpani for everything.
You can't take everything from me.
Do you want the timpani?
I like
Do
you're
I
like,
the
give
loud
me the big,
banging.
Give me the big instrument. I want the big boy.
I'm playing the goddamn triangle.
Start to play rap.
Spencer,
just rap.
What instrument would you like?
The biggest one. That's what I want.
Just rap. Raps.
Is that what
blue.
I sound like?
No, that's Spencer.
Oh.
I'm just sitting there with the pedal.
I like the notion of playing, so I know percussionists in big orchestras, you know, rotate based on the needs of a piece, but I really like the idea of making an organization like the LA Phil and just playing marimbas.
Look,
because it always strikes me as a deeply unserious instrument.
I respect Paul's answer, and at the same time, I really hope getting off at the orchestra becomes the new TikTok trend. Because frankly, wouldn't yeah. I think that would be great for orchestras across America.
Yeah.
That's how you get the young people involved.
Also, you know, if you're getting off non-penetratively, that's safe.
Yeah.
Do
you think there are hand stuff only orgies?
Hang on. ArizonaState.edu/
Ryan? Ryan, yes, that's called a church lock-in.
Yeah. call it a street fight because everyone's catching hands.
Overthecloststuff.edu.
The answer to is there a kink? Yes. Yes.
Right.
Whatever
yeah,
it is.
You're right.
Somebody,
you're right.
Hands only orgy. Small hands orgy. What?
Whoa. Whoa. Okay.
The first result I got was small hands orgy.
Your ad experience is going to be very different.
Or exactly the same.
No, baby, this is an incognito window. Come on, I'm a pro. Oh, thank you to this important 2015 piece from the All. How many guests constitute an orgy? That's a good question.
That is a good question. That's a real argument of the beard kind of setup.
Is it? Wait, so what are there many theories?
Okay, so two is a mating. Okay, five. Yeah,
I'm gonna go with five.
Okay, well, here's the relevant. Here's the relevant paragraph. Two is a mating, three is a three-way, four is a 4G. You would think five is logically an orgy, but no, five is two couples who keep forgetting about the creepy guy in the corner. Six is an accident. You didn't get enough for a gangbang, but you got too many for something more innocent and lovely. Six is gross. Seven is probably a really mild semi-orgy, an afternoon tea time of group sex. Seven is your grandmother's orgy, polite and manageable, with people ducking out for treats when winded. That does sound ideal. Eight is certainly enough to hide from somebody with bad pheromones or gross genitalia. Nine, though. Nine is when we create the bare underpinnings of an orgy.
Okay.
Nine?
A minimum of nine.
Five is Joey Fowler.
Oh, this is Corey. This is former colleague Corey Sika. Hey, Corey.
Oh, good. I trust him.
Yeah, if you say so. There's not a room in the world with enough ventilation for me to verify any of that.
I feel like seven is... That's got to qualify. But
I feel like
if I'm fucking six different people and someone tells me you weren't in an orgy,
yeah,
I'm gonna have a little bit of an argument.
Are you just saying?
Do you know how much classical music I've endured in the past 4 hours?
I listened to all of the Requiem Mass. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, if they tell you, if you go through all that work and they still don't give you the little orgy badge, I don't want this achievement. I don't
want my damn orgy badge.
That is not how Boy Scouts works.
That's like a Cherokee to not get an orgy badge.
They're called Man Scouts, Rand.
Not only was I in Girl Scout Troop 69 and didn't keep any of the regalia because I was an idiot, when I was in middle school, there was every few years they would come up with these like different empowerment campaigns and you'd get a little patch for it. But when I was in middle school, we had one that was, I swear to God, the girl comes first in Girl Scouting.
No.
Which, damn. Based on my experiences at camp, damn. Was always true.
No.
Damn.
But. No, seriously, Google this. I'm not making this up.
It was like a pink and green and blue patch.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah, you can't Google these things with Girl Scout because then you never know when your computer gets seized.
I'm just going to find it. It was the 80th anniversary of Girl Scouting in 1992.
That's nice. That's fun. One thing I did not share from
the... I'm going to drop this in the chat. It's the official Girl Scout history site.
Tchaikovsky's fifth Wikipedia. On the symphony's first performance in the United States, this is the reaction from the Boston Evening Transcript. The furious peroration sounds like nothing so much as a horde of demons struggling in a torrent of brandy, the music growing drunker and drunker. This
that
was
does
somehow
sound
a
like
negative
an orgy.
Review. Yeah, it does, kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. God damn. Where the fuck do you go from there?
Ryan, you mentioned the Queen's funeral.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Natural transition.
Have you guys seen the list of objects that are getting toted around the Abbey during the coronation of the King?
I have, but I'm stuck on an associated thing.
Is it orb?
It's not orb. It is... Now I have to look it up.
Okay.
I did not know that when you became king, your video game inventory contained so many enchanted objects.
Mm. We had a request from reader David at... Thank you for contributing to the orgy episode. David at Lickle Puma on Twitter, who requests that we go through this list and see who we would nominate to tote each of these items. Because each of these items... gets toted by a different baron or general or duke or reverend or
before we get to this, can we talk about the king's champion?
Yes, because we could all take that guy, right?
He's a 68-year-old former accountant
who's been trampled by his own cows before. Okay, hang on, we should back up.
Yes, this is from a Daily Mail article. By his own admission, Mr. Dymoke, I don't know if that's how you say it, but that's how I'm saying it, is not a fighter, nor is the father of three the right size for squeezing into either of the last two remaining suits of armor standing in the hallway of his ancestral home. But
this is fucking made up. Do you know what his title is? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I believe he is the 35th
Yeah, these
he's, the he's the 34th King's champion.
All right, so he's the 34th of Scribblesby. No.
Yeah.
That is not his fucking title.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. Scribblesby. So the way this used to work, and it hasn't been this way in like 170 years or some shit, the King's champion would show up in full armor on a horse, and he would throw his gauntlet down 3 times on his way up to wherever the coronation was happening. And basically, this was the opportunity to, like, fight this dude for the right to dispute the king's claim to the throne.
It's like the Black Panther competition once removed.
Right.
It's like the speak now if you know why these people shouldn't get married, but for coronations.
I guess my thing is, like, if you have this job, there's no way nobody is like, I would like to challenge this man, right?
Like, except this guy I want to challenge.
Right. Like, but there's no way to do that. There is no way to say, like, yes, I think fuck Charles, and I want to fuck this dude up. So that
So there's no current mechanism to actually issue the challenge?
Correct. Yes. I'm like, what is the point of being the king's champion if you're not actually going, like, I understand that for years none of the champions, even the ones who showed up on horseback in armor, none of them had to like actually do the like Game of Thrones thing where like I'm fighting on your behalf. But like at least keep the threat of it there. At least give us some inkling that maybe this shit's gonna happen.
Charles, you're the one who keeps saying you want to streamline the monarchy, man.
It's disappointing. It's just fucking disappointing.
It is disappointing. Piers Morgan, you have the chance to do the funniest thing ever.
This dude's an accountant.
Yeah.
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 Who couldn't fight him? All of us could fight him.
I think so.
I think everybody on Split Zone Duo could fight him. I think everybody on Hand of the Dirt could fight him. Bud could fight him with one hand.
Yeah. Bud's jacked. Bud'll fuck him up.
Who else do we know who has a podcast? Andy Staples could take him.
Yep.
Jane. Oh man, we gotta send Jane as the people's champion. No, dude, she just hit a new PR on the bench, man.
That's true.
Just,
she's ready.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be so hung up on this, and I shouldn't be like so mad.
No, that does suck. That's
but I just think like if you're gonna do it, you don't have to do it. If you're just like, yeah, we're not fucking doing the King's champion anymore. But if you're gonna do it and it's this important, then like,
how do I challenge?
I think Ryan, it's okay to make fun of England as always. Like they have a really stupid tradition and they don't even use it. That's stupid. That's how they do everything. It's a fake country. Everything about it is like this.
It is. It is a lot of fake. It is. The more I think about it, the more it's like, this is medieval times. This is like, we're putting on fun costumes, but yes, you can have a Pepsi, my lord.
It's an entire country built by a, like, fantasy novelist who's, like, 200,000 words in and hasn't, like, introduced any characters yet. Right. Just, like, making
shit up. He's not even
gonna
ride a horse?
No, no.
They
no
used
horse.
To ride a horse into Westminster
yes,
Abbey.
Yes, yes. That's what I'm
fuck?
Saying.
Okay,
like,
no,
if
now
you're
I'm
gonna
mad.
Do this, do
now
this
I'm
shit
mad.
Right. But instead, it's just some grandpa in his nice suit gonna show up and be like, I am here to defend the king from
so
those
Charles,
who dare challenge his right to the throne!
So Charles gets to assert this ancient right to rule.
Yeah.
But nobody else gets to assert their ancient right
Correct.
To fight that guy.
Correct.
This is one of the rare instances wherein, like, in the 1300s, this would have been solved quite easily.
Yes!
Because they would have seen, like, old Charles, weak king, murdered.
Yes.
Murdered.
Like, look.
New king. Ride the horse.
I don't know this for sure.
This is for Meghan, slapping him with a metal gauntlet.
I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure that, like, Emmanuel Macron is not having a ton of popularity in France right now. If he showed up to the coronation with
time.
A sword and said, I'm going to fuck this dude up.
Yeah.
And then I will be king of England. England will be France's once
more. Allez, 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 allez!
That's right! That's right!
Run it back.
I'm going to give him my blues.
Fuck it. Ugh.
I think the King's champion should be someone more substantial. At this point, it should be the highest ranked British wrestler. It should be, or, you know, like, UK wrestler. It should be, at this point, Drew McIntyre. Like, if Drew McIntyre walked in the, like, black briefs, wet as hell. I mean, just okay. The wettest.
That's a big risk. That's a big risk.
That's a slippery floor.
That's a very Scottish man that you're giving, putting one step away from the throne in London.
Oh, no.
Nothing about this is dissuading me from this plan, Jason.
I mean, I'm with it, but...
Let's let our resident Scotsman take over. Jason, who would you slot in there?
Drew fucking McIntyre.
Just wiping
the
hair back.
He could eat the king's champion.
I'm here to defend the... Oh, my God, he's broken in half.
He's been kicked. He's been kicked by an acrobat who weighs 290 pounds.
I just wish this 68-year-old man, who's probably reasonably nice...
Wait, he's only 68?
As rich British men go.
Oh, the challenger is 68. Okay.
Yeah. I just wish the king's champion, like, had to endure a few weeks of terror of, like... Look, it's probably not going to happen, but what if?
No,
what
if somebody runs up on me? They should at least give him a Twitter account.
Yeah.
And like let the K-pop teens have at him.
I'm fine if we say, like, look, we're going to even the odds here. King's champion gets a sword, and you just get rocks. And you got to figure it out. Like, that's fine.
No, this is me hiring. I'm hiring 15 people, actors, who play my entourage.
Yeah.
And another 20 who play the crowd following me around. And like a boxer who wants a shot at the title, I'm going to follow the King's Champion around to the coffee shop, to the grocery store. We're going to follow him to the Tesco, right? And they're going to hold me back as I'm like, I want my shot!
Boy, me
you
Tesco
got my belt! And there's like cameras going off, right? Like
cashing in the briefcase.
Yeah. Meet me at SummerSlam, King's Champion!
He's afraid! He's afraid of greatness! As this guy's just trying to put like his can of spotted dick in his bag.
Trying to put his fucking beans in his tea and whatever the shit.
Let me scribble in me boinkies in the bag.
Boy, me Tesco crisp.
I'm trying to eat me 10 a.m. dinner and whatever the fuck. Uh-huh.
Spencer kicks him in the throat.
Hot beans fly out.
Beans at breakfast, you sick fuck.
My prediction is pain.
Hot like coffee, not hot like spicy.
I know he just wants to go home and watch Love Island. Bam!
Whoa. God save your ribs. Wham!
Is the sword that he gets like it's either like it's some old piece of shit that's not going to do a damn thing because it's been rusting for 1,000 years, or it's like some really sarcastically like bejeweled like
oh Jason, I'm so
extremely
glad you asked.
Fancy
there are
garbage.
Five fucking swords in
yeah.
this ceremony.
That's ridiculous. A fucking golf bag full of swords. It's ridiculous.
No.
The situation calls for a shut the fuck up.
Hold on, I gotta get my pitching sword.
Oh no, I'm sorry. There's more than that because there are five swords that get carried down the aisle, and none of those include the swords that people are wearing.
What a fucking bridezilla.
One of them is called
Janice had three swords in her ceremony, so I'm gonna have five.
Orb. Okay,
and an orb.
One of these is some Doctor Who shit. This is the Sword of Temporal Justice.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah,
temporal.
Yeah.
You I'm gonna do some justice on you, but you'll get better.
You were late. So, therefore, you get this sword.
Oh, it's the fucking time stone. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the scimitar of tardiness.
Yeah. This is the sword that turns me into child length.
There is the sword of... in order of procession, there is the sword of offering, which is I'm going to offer to sword you.
That's the sword you hand somebody a slice of flatbread pizza on.
Okay, no, that would be the second one, the Sword of State, as in Michigan State.
Delicious.
There's the Sword of Mercy, also known as the Cortana. That's so dramatic. Carried by Air Chief Marshal the Lord Peach. We are now into Mario Kart.
Yep.
Through Westminster Abbey. Oh my God, this fucking British name. The Sword of Spiritual Justice is after that, and then the Sword of Temporal Justice. So the Time Stone does come at the very end.
Huh, time stone and full stone, okay.
Look at this, God, fucking Witcher-ass bullshit. I need two swords.
Wait, I'm sorry, this dude's fucking name is General Sir Gordon Messenger?
Yep.
madder and madder the more I find out about
fake.
All fancy English people have fake names. None of the names are real.
Oh yeah,
they're all names. They're all called.
They all
like
have 17
Reg.
Consonants, and it's all pronounced like Dave.
Yeah.
If you're being executed, by the way, and you see somebody coming up with seven swords,
It's going to be a minute.
Yeah, are you just looking? You're like, well, which one is the worst one?
Is the Sword of Mercy a pool noodle? I don't even understand that concept.
Oh, if you've ever been hit with one, you know it's not merciful.
That's probably the one they finish off with after all the temporal justice being conducted.
There's also one rule that just says carrying the orb.
Yeah, but if they
that's the only thing that made that I want to get there to see.
If they pull out one that's like the Sword of Screaming Torture. You don't want that one. That's the one that you're like, yeah, I'm against that one.
I feel like I'm playing fucking Diablo. Every goddamn sword has 8 words attached to it.
But then Emmanuel Macron shows up with the gun of France. Fuck you!
France gun!
It's just a Saturday Night Special in an ankle holster.
Wow!
Okay,
it's
I'm
very
sorry.
Sexy!
Did you hear me? Did you hear me call one of these? Say they call one of these swords the Cortana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the
that's literally a Final Fantasy sword. I just looked it up.
All of this. If you told me if
it's
one
in Final Fantasy VI, it's in Final Fantasy 14, it's in Final Fantasy Airborne Brigade.
I would guess that everything in England has appeared in a Final Fantasy game because they all have stupid names, and everything in Final Fantasy is all just named just
the
like
Cortana's
random
not even
grab
a good
bag
Final
of
Fantasy game.
Oh, see, that's maybe that's what
you're
happens.
You're going to be canceled.
You attack the king's champion, and he dies
sorry,
in one hit.
Eight,
and you're
it's
like,
eight for me or nothing.
You attack the king's champion, he dies in one hit. And you're like, well, that was fucking easy. And then he morphs into this
final form.
Oh, my fucking God. The king's champion has 8,000 hit points.
Does
Jesus
have any
Christ.
Jab body parts?
The grotesque abomination known
behold
as
the Counterlore.
No, I just realized Camilla's going to carry him around like Krang.
Behold Lord Peach. Who disturbs his slumber? Boy mistake chips.
Lord Hastings and the Earl of Wario carrying the spurs.
Yeah, and see, if I'm organizing this thing... I'm
the
gonna
Lord
do it.
Peach?
I'm going to do it once, and I'm going to start putting shit in like this. Like, we'll go, the Sword of Temporal Justice. Yeah.
Oh, you
the Sword
guys.
Of Spiritual Justice.
You guys, his name, he's got a real name.
What's his name?
Stuart Peach.
Yep.
Stuart Peach.
That's horrible.
Boy.
That's better than Peach.
That's Lord Stu Peach to you.
Look at you.
You show some respect to Stu Peach.
Stuart Peach, Baron Peach.
They call me that because I'm juicy, right?
Oh my God, does he have a tiny, round, little bald head? Yes, he does.
No and a good. Big old ass.
Big old ass. Gigantic dunk on that man.
Actually, kind of. Look at his NATO biography.
Get that man on the defensive line.
Full of big muscles.
But like, if I'm doing
all
look
of this,
at the unexpected
this,
wagon on this man.
All of this nonsense bullshit to install a king that nobody likes.
Who doesn't do anything.
He's just not gonna do this again in like 3 years
look,
for his
also,
weird son.
He's also never had to do anything or learn anything or be good at anything. Okay. He's never had to be stress tested by life, so we could just pull shit on him like the Sword of Temporal Justice. The Energy Sword. The gravity hammer. As the
wow.
Slow. Yeah.
I'm sorry. They're the keeper of the jewel house is somebody named Brigadier Andrew Jackson. I need to get on a plane. There's some unfinished business.
Yeah, you know what he is? Sleeper cell.
Woo! USA!
The axe of gummy worms. Now build.
You could just put all... just you could actually turn the entire thing into, like, Halo. You could turn
this
the
sounds
whole
like
thing.
Just average dad's tool shed.
Yeah.
You
got nicknames for a million different tools.
Your
it sounds like an RPG inventory that needs to be managed better. You
don't touch
need
that. That's the pegboard
that
where I
keep
my orbs.
That shit is weighing you the fuck down.
Come on. You got no potions? Not a single
potion? You know
you
can sell this shit, right? You can sell this shit for 8 gold.
Never more dubious food.
Not one flaming arrow?
Let's see, let's find some dubious food. What are the coronation foods?
England has spent 1,000 years upgrading its inventory size and nothing else.
That's true. That is really what England is.
They should make him wear the suit of armor though, because I bet that's clumsy as shit. He'd be face planting every 3 steps on that marble.
Clark. A broken mech.
Yeah, he looked like the shittiest, cheapest mech in the world. He'd be falling like Asimo, that robot that went down the stairs. That's it. I just want to see this poor 68-year-old accountant try to squeeze into a suit of armor and then faceplant every 7 steps in Westminster Abbey in front of an appalled King Charles.
Riding a horse.
Yeah, they got to put him on a horse. Mad.
So mad. I challenge you to a joust.
And then you actually joust. Oh, no. You've impaled the accountant. Now you're king, or whatever.
Now he must, in the suit of armor, wield the gravity hammer, as the chorus sings.
Oh, you guys. So, you know, there's a big, like, celebratory lunch after the coronation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The centerpiece dish of it has been revealed.
Is it coronation chicken?
Actually, no.
No. Oh.
It's a quiche of spinach and beans.
Delicious.
Empire that stretched around the entire world. And this is what they've landed on.
While also being recommended to eat with green salad and boiled potatoes.
Fuck me.
You know we left World War One, right?
Nah. Some
like you know the foods that were available in the trenches aren't the only foods.
Listen, the sword of mustard gas will teach you otherwise.
Wielded to this day by Lord Admiral General Sir Such and Such, and if you defeat him, you earn 1/7 of the right to face the champion.
Behold the right princess, Lucky Two.
Teens in a quiche.
Lord of the skies.
I assume if you defeat the king's champion, that it's revealed that Prince Charles is actually Toad, and the real prince is in another castle. Yeah. After all.
Oh man. Okay. Here is a. I kept googling Time Sword, and I got the most disappointing headline ever.
Yeah.
Kate Middleton's coronation tiara is causing rows at the palace amid a race against time. It actually has nothing to do with a race against time. Some people don't want her to wear a crown.
I'd wear 3.
Is the
Yeah. I'd wear a crown on each boob.
I'd call myself the Lord of Crownington. And I'd wear 3 crowns.
Yeah, like fuck you, I'm the Lord of Time.
I got a sword made out of crowns. What now?
I got a sword made out of time.
I'd come in with the baseball wrapped in barbed wire of enlightenment. That's what I'd come in.
Oh, it's because Camilla's a fake queen, so now everyone's like, no one should wear tiaras to upstage the queen, and all the actual worlds are like, fuck you.
You know what she should
We
wear?
Got that. What are we supposed to do with this shit?
Yeah.
Just keep it in storage? You get to bring out all your dumb swords, and I don't get to wear my fun hat? Fuck you.
Is there no role in all this where you can wear a sword and a tiara? That's the only way I'd go.
Mech suit. Camilla. Mech suit Camilla. Jaeger Camilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Granny Danger.
Yeah, this is where we talk King Charles into wearing the Iron Man suit, the real Iron Man suit with the thrusters.
Doesn't
on the
Charles
hands.
Have to wear one of those crowns with fur on it?
Nah,
can you imagine the smell?
England is into.
Is it the same animal?
England's into like authenticity and history, so he's got to wear the
automatic
first.
Automatic transmission.
He's got to wear the first Iron Man suit.
They have 4-wheel drive.
The clunky one. Behold, Lord Spider-Man's flamethrower.
Somebody falls straight through the floor. That's what's happening. Somebody's just taking a heavy Iron Man suit, falling straight through the floor. And somewhere in the back, some like Millwall fan's gonna be like, "Wanka!"
And the Pope, meanwhile, the Pope's like, "Losers. Should have stayed on the cool team, fuck faces."
Is it like 700
where we have the cool Iron Man suits?
You want some fucking knights?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, the quiche also has tarragon.
Ooh.
Ooh, curveball.
Only once every 40 years.
That's honestly, somebody will have a problem with that because it is a spice and because it's associated with French cuisine. They'll be like, ah!
France gun!